The Solid Dome of the Sky, Part 1, of 2. From the earliest times, it has been believed and said that the heavens were not an empty space, but a solid surface. The Chaldeans and Egyptians regarded the sky as the massive cover of the world, and in India and Persia it was thought to be a metallic lid, flat or convex, or even pyramidal. Up to the 17th century, the earth was always regarded as the center of an empty sphere with solid walls, and on this account, it was always represented with a cover. This indispensable complement, however, was eliminated upon the advent of the theory of gravitation, for convenience sake, as a solid dome limiting the space round the Earth would have rendered impossible the extravagant motions of the planets which were sent revolving in the air at phenomenal distances. Thus from this time, the fact universally accepted for thousands of years that the sky is a firm surface, completely disappeared. It should be noted, however, that the notion of the massive nature of the SLY still subsists in the language. The word firmament means firm surface, and the French word ciel is derived from coelum, which signifies chiseled material. Nevertheless, the possible existence of a solid vault over the earth is a question of great importance in view of the tremendous consequences which would result from this fact, if it happened to be true. There is no doubt that the general reaction is one of incredulity, but, on the other hand, it can be considered that it is not without reason that the ancients believed in the existence of the material vault of heaven, nor without reason, either, that this notion should have been consistently handed down through the ages since the earliest times up to the 7th century, in all parts of the world. The only alternative would be to be able to prove the fact, but it would certainly appear at the present time that there is no means of doing so. It may be discovered, however, that a solid dome effectively exists above our heads, in an indirect and quite unexpected manner, which the erroneous interpretation put on the composition of the planets had not so far permitted to do. It can be stated at this juncture, by anticipating on the next chapter which deals with this particular subject, that the planets are not solid, opaque masses of matter, as is believed. They are simply immaterial, luminous and transparent disks, and in view of these circumstances, it is plain that the craters, asperities, mountains and valleys which were thought to exist on the surface of these imaginary masses, are the topographic features of the solid vault of the sky which are illuminated and thrown into relief by the luminous and transparent disks which we call planets. It is also to be realized that the lens of the telescope creates an appearance of convexity which, standing out in relief, conveys the impression of a spherical mass, but this convexity effect is merely an optical illusion. The dome of the sky can be seen not only through the transparent satellite disks of the Earth with the help of the telescope, but also with the naked eye, in rare circumstances, it is true, i.e. when it is lighted by flashes of lightning during night thunderstorms. By a remarkable chance and in similar conditions, the author has seen the vault of heaven entirely illuminated, and has even been able to observe it steadily for several minutes, due to a rapid succession of sheet lightning discharges providing a perfect and continuous visibility. The remark may now be made that, if the ancients maintained that the sky was a solid mass, it was for the reason that they had ascertained the fact in the same circumstances, as many observers will now be able to do in the future. The possibility, therefore, of taking photographs by night of large areas of the vault of heaven can now be foreseen, particularly in those parts of the world where, owing to the frequency of thunderstorms, there are numerous opportunities of doing so. The aspect of the vault was that of a rather steep, slightly sloping dome of pyramidal shape, and it appeared to be composed of a bright metallic dark gray matter, uniformly showing small regular inequalities like lead which has been beaten or chiseled. The larger details, particularly the craters, were clearly visible against the background. But the most impressive circumstance yet, was the incredible nearness of the vault, the highest point of which did not appear to be, at the most, any more than 60 kilometers from the earth. It may be recalled in this connection that in one of the texts of Homer, it is stated that the height of the bell-shaped vault which surrounds the earth is only twice that of Mount Olympus, approximately 6 kilometers. This estimation, evidently impossible, and which must have probably resulted from the exceptional purity of the atmosphere in Greece which may be deceptive, gives, nevertheless, an idea of the manner in which this question of the distance of the vault of the sky from the earth, to which we shall return later on, is to be envisaged. It results, therefore, from the foregoing explanations, that the existence of a dome of matter encircling the earth cannot be denied, and this fact completely revolutionizes the present-day concepts on the outer world. The earth is not freely suspended in space, but it is resting on the floor of a cavity whose walls surround it on all sides. The sidereal expanse does no longer extend over unlimited and undetermined distances. The dimensions of our universe are now known to be restricted, and they are confined by the circular wall which encircles the Earth. It is by this obstacle that the radar waves are reflected, and we may also recall, in this respect, the theory of Heaviside leading to the existence of an upper, wave-resisting atmospheric layer, which is no other than the solid vault of the sky. There is absolutely no solid body between the Earth and the dome of heaven, since the constellations, like the planets, are nothing but luminous phenomena. The meteorites are obviously fragments which become detached from the vault and reach the Earth. These masses, when analyzed, prove to include a high percentage of metal, from which we can conclude that the inherent brilliance of the sky is due to the presence of metals in its composition. The fact is that the Earth, at the beginning of time, must necessarily have become separated from the adjoining mass which constitutes now the vault of heaven, and, therefore, the parts now divided must contain the same elements. All the metals and ores of the Earth are consequently present in the surface of the sky. An association is actually made between metals and the sky, since the latter is instinctively compared to lead and copper in very hot countries where broiling temperatures intensify its metallic action and render it more perceptible. In classical literature there are two specific references to the metallic nature of the sky, apart from the one to be found in the Egyptian cosmology, but the former may not be independent of the latter. First, we read in the poems of Homer that star-strewn Olympus, dwelling of the gods, is made of glittering bronze, and secondly, in the Old Testament, the prophet Job gives what may be regarded as an exact definition of the sky when he proclaims it to be a mirror of metal. It is to be observed, in this connection, that when poetical reference is made to the silver mirror of the moon, it is the metallic surface of the dome appearing under the transparent disk which, in reality, may be described as a silver mirror. It may further be remarked that in the mythology of the Orient the attribute of the sun goddess is the sacred mirror. This is another association with the true nature of the vault, and it must be admitted that the latter, especially when it shines and sparkles under the sun, undoubtedly looks like a mirror. It has frequently been observed that there is a resemblance between glass and the sun. In the 6th century BC Empedocles regarded the sun as a vitreous body which collects and reflects the light of the ether, but has no luminous power of its own. The British astronomer Palmer, in the last century, held the view that the sun is a lens which, he also said, transmits to us the rays emanating from the Almighty. It is further known that Ptolemy in his System of the Constitution of the Universe, speaks of the existence of a crystalline sky, i.e. a sky in the nature of a transparent mineral substance. One may think, in this connection, that it is not impossible that due to the heat developed by the passage of the sun's disk, there may be a fusion and vitrification of the siliceous materials contained in the vault, so that it becomes coated in certain places with a layer of glass, which would communicate to the solar disk by transparency, identical properties, so that it might become similar to a lens. The presence of dross or slag similar to that formed on fused metal has also been observed on the surface of the sun, which is really, owing to its transparency, the foundation of the sky, and this seems to confirm the possibility of thermal and chemical reactions taking place among the elements which compose the vault. It can now be understood that the light and the heat which appear to be produced by the sun do not proceed from this source, but are due to a burning glass effect which is generated by the brilliant metallic surface of the vault under the luminous disk. Under these conditions, all the vivifying and beneficial properties which are attributed to the sun must be transferred to the solid dome of the sky, as well as the rays. These are not the sun's rays, but they are the rays of the metallic surface of the vault. It is also obvious that the electrical discharges which produce lightning take place between the mass of the Earth and that of the dome of the sky. It can further be surmised that parts of the dome expand, and split or explode under the stress of the passage of the intense electrical currents and of their discharge. Hence the short detonations called thunderclaps, which are later amplified into loud rumblings, and reverberated in the interior of the vast cavern which contains the Earth. It can further be remarked that crashes of thunder are always immediately followed by a metallic resonance similar to that of bronze or brass, and it can be said that this particular resounding, which is clearly perceptible, is certainly produced by the metallic walls of the vault which are made to shake and vibrate under the stress of the detonations.